I didn't, it didn't count down, did
Wilson,
it?
were you tightening some screws there? Is that what you told me you were doing?
Got my
Oh, there it
screw.
is,
I got
the
my
screwdriver.
screwdriver. Yes, the microphone. I mean, I come on, Carol. Welcome to the podcast. But you have to be included in the conversation. Carrie will introduce you formally in a minute. But my microphone, it'll all of a sudden just start going like this as I'm talking, and that bothers me. So I tighten the screws. Now look at it. Stays right where it's supposed to be.
We
Yeah.
jumped on a little bit earlier, and he says, "Oh, I got to tighten my screws." I didn't realize it was a literal screw that needed to be tightened. I thought maybe there was some
Figurative.
psychological dimension here. He was trying to get some screws tightened up, which
We
we all need to
I was
from
going to
time to
say,
time.
was especially Willie needs to tighten up a few screws for sure.
Well, at
Verbiage.
least you said it, not us.
Well, I take the ammunition away, right? You know, just
Okay, all right.
if I say it myself, then it has to be okay.
So we have one of the premier leather worker saddle makers on board today, Carol Gessel, all the way from Ennis, Montana. And we're looking at her, looks like her living room there, and a lot of knotty pine. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Your home that you've got there. It's a little log house, and so that the rest of the walls are log, but yeah, behind there's that tongue and groove pine, and it goes back into the shop too. The shop is
Awesome.
quite So your
large.
shop is part of the house, or Yeah, it is was it? actually it's a two-car garage attached, and was converted into my shop, Oh, and wow. good size, works real well. I have a pellet stove going on in there, and it keeps it nice and warm. And I just had a sink and stuff like that put in over this last summer. So yeah, it's a pretty good setup. Of course, it's full of stuff, and so is the downstairs of my house. It seems like the more space you have, the more stuff you collect, but you know how that goes. Oh yeah.
Certainly, yeah. Can't in the metal world, you can't have a big enough shop. It is, and you know what? And Jeremiah talked about it last week. It can become inefficient, right? Like your shop. I never thought of this, but your space is, and how, and I've thought about it for years, but Jeremiah brought it back up, is how things are set up and the efficiency and the travel from one location to the next and what you're doing. And if you're spending all your time walking, it's inefficient, right? So he was talking about tools set up in one spot and all that. That's the center of the bench. Y'all do that? The most used tools in the center of the bench?
I have,
Yeah.
yeah, I've got like a little rack that goes over my cutting bench and stuff, and it has all the tools, and I have them up with a magnetic strips.
Oh,
So
yeah.
it works real well. So the tools are kind of right there. I try to be efficient, but it's not my strong point. I have to work really hard to be somewhat efficient. That's with time and everything. I like to make things, and business-wise and things, that's just not my forte.
What's the title of
Boy,
the
somehow this all sounds very familiar. That's what I thought. Yeah.
You just said the title of a book. What was it?
Yeah, we were just talking earlier before we pushed the button about a guy that I'm not acquainted with. I do have him as a friend on Facebook, for what that's worth, but his name is William Derezowitz. He wrote a book, a New York Times bestseller here a few years back, and I think it was called The Death of the Artist.
That's a
And
yes.
but this article that I downloaded here lately, I'd read it before. It's called The Death of the Artist and the Birth of the Creative Entrepreneur. And I think in I'm going to reread this, but and maybe we'll get him on the podcast, who knows, but talking about how to make a living, you know, the artist, the classic definition of the artist is kind of out there, and we're in a world right now where we kind of have to, we've got to be a creative entrepreneur. You got to figure out how to
I
pay the
know.
bills. You got to figure out the efficiency thing, like Jeremiah was talking about last week, is you can get all your steps in a day's time, but did you get any work done?
We were hiking in between workstations and all that stuff.
Yeah, my business has been pretty much web-based from day one, and I'm in the middle now. I shouldn't say the middle. I'm in the beginning of updating my website for about 2.5 years. So there's so much stuff in
Oh, you're
there.
ahead of me.
Oh
Yeah.
man, it's like, I mean, because most of my customers, it seems like they come from the website, and then they might go onto Facebook and see some things on there afterwards. But I think it's initially the website. So I've been telling myself the past couple of years how important it is for me to keep up on the website. And I just can't seem to keep up because, you get really busy, you're making stuff, trying to get stuff out the door. And then if it's a little bit of downtime, the last thing you want to do is sit at the computer and work on business things. But at the same time, it's so important. So I'm thinking once I get this update done, that I may have somebody help me and keep up, every few weeks with some little updates. Because I mean,
Nice.
it would be a couple things, every few weeks or even every month, just a couple things. But when you let it go for a couple years, it's like a whole different style of chaps and saddles and everything, and I've got to change so much and add so much. It's just really inefficient because these days when somebody emails me for an order, I end up sending them like two different emails of a bunch of pictures of all the newer things. I'm like, I really got to get this website. Who knows? Good. But yeah, one of these days. Well, I'm doing it right now because my goal was to have it ready to launch on January 1st, but knock on wood, we'll see what the heck happens. We'll see.
I was going to ask you, why do you do it yourself? But you already think along those lines, so.
Yeah, it's like when I started the business in 1999, I was working at another company, and I had asked the woman there who ran the website for this company. I says, "So how do you build a website?" And back then, you still had to program things pretty much yourself. And she kind of showed me some tricks and stuff. So I started building a site, and it ended up being Pages. And it took quite a while, but I discovered once I got into building it, I really do enjoy the website aspect. Once I get into it, it's just simply getting started. It's kind of like exercise of working out, you know how good it's going to be, you know how good you're going to feel even during, but getting the motivation to do it, it's like, oh boy. So it's kind of one of those. So I like doing it myself, and it would scare me to kind of hand it over to somebody, but it's not rocket science, and if it gets done, I'd be a really happy camper.
Well, that came to my mind as you're sitting there talking. You do a good job of it. You enjoy it and you expect a certain thing. So then communicating that to the person that's going to take it over becomes a challenge as well. So
Yeah.
sometimes it's like that stuff. If you're me and you don't have a clue, it's real easy to pass off the buck, right? Like, I don't care. I do care.
Ignorance
But
bliss.
it's out of my wheelhouse. So,
Well, what you said there, Carol, I think is maybe the bugaboo. I know that's the one thing I just really struggle with is that I like learning, so and I'm interested in so many different things, and I wind up enjoying it once you get some proficiency at whatever that is. And then the thought of getting offloading it to somebody else is what? I learned how to do this. I can do this. I'm actually kind of good at doing this. And but you keep replicating that and you're in trouble.
Yeah,
And
nothing.
then you're sitting on this computer screen and you need to be making stuff. You need to be cutting leather.
Yeah, because I don't get paid for doing paperwork and building my site.
No, not directly anyway.
No. So yeah, sometimes I wonder, well, gee, Carol, are you maybe deep down inside more of a control freak than you think you are? I don't see myself that way, but I really have a hard time letting things go, or, I mean, I'm getting better at it in my old age, but it was a real learning process of sometimes you can trust some things to somebody else. It doesn't have to be done perfectly, but sometimes just the fact it gets done is a really good thing. Just getting it done, just
Well,
off my plate,
and if you don't, I mean, managing other people and your expectations becomes problematic as well. Like that's a time crunch. That's a time consumer, right? And sometimes I feel like it's faster and easier, not on a website for me, but it's just do it myself. Certain things, I just do it myself. It's faster. And I know that I get it done exactly the way I want by me doing it. Now that I'm really good at pawning crap off, I promise. I don't want to. I don't want to do a lot of. I want to do what I do, but I don't
Yeah,
know.
I want to be like Willie when I grow up.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be nice.
Sure. But like when I started my Patreon stuff and I was editing my videos, which I'm not proficient at it, but that's one of the things I was learning on iMovie and how to do things. And when I hired Eli, that was one of the things I pawned off on him. And it took me a while to release that, not pay attention to what was going on with every single thing. And there's certain things that the descriptions and verbiage and things that I have to do myself. But one of the so I did when I turned it loose, I turned it loose. I quit looking. I quit paying attention to what the videos were doing. And that's bad from a business owner standpoint too, because you have to evaluate your expectations. You have to go look and see what it is that you've done. And I have not done a good job of that. I have no idea what Eli's doing on the video editing. I just turned it loose and said, I'm over it. Like, I don't want to think about it. Right. Just move on. And I probably shouldn't have done that either. I should have paid more attention. It's all good.
Well, that's why when you look at your Patreon, you or your little videos, that's why it's your head on a Victoria's Secret model, talking. So
I
at least you can look
would,
different that
yeah. Don't know what he's doing
Oh,
to
I
me.
better subscribe. I better check
Yeah,
that out.
that might be worth the $25 a month right there.
Absolutely.
The viewer rate goes way up high.
Yeah, no wonder. No wonder I have such a large following now. Huh? It's a girly pictures. Oh well. Well, so Carol, let's hear about you. We haven't we just jumped off into deep stuff that usually happens at the end. No.
All right, okay, about me. Well, this whole leatherwork journey and stuff, this sure wasn't my intention growing up. You go to college and stuff and do what your parents and other people tell you is kind of the right thing. You go to school and, oh yeah, maybe be a lawyer or, just whatever the heck it is. And go to college, get your degree and stuff, and of course you never use it. And
What'd you get your degree in?
I got, oh, criminal justice. And then, I
Okay.
mean, I bounced around just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. First, I wanted to go to law school, but I had to work full time while going to school. It's like, man, this is just too hard. It's just too much. So I couldn't vision going to school for more years and stuff. And so I kind of took an easy way out, I guess, and got the small little degree, which was fine. But I took a bunch of other classes in the meantime, some computer programming and art, of course, and just different things. But yeah, I ended up, at least I got proficient enough computer skills to where it was really easy at the time to find these different jobs, more secretarial and stuff like that. But I always had an interest in horses, and always, I remember from being a little kid and I had my little plastic Briar horse models. I used to make them little halters and little saddles. I mean, I'm a little kid, so this is pretty goofy stuff. I still have some of that stuff, by the way. But I was always had an interest in that, and then growing up having ponies and horse and all, and of course you get older and life gets in the way, Well, I decided about in my mid to late 30s, I didn't have horses for a while, and I got them again. And instead of just getting one, I had like three or four. And so I had the horses and I could feed them, but I couldn't afford to get them nice tack, even just a decent bridle and stuff. So I says, well, gee, I used to do a little bit of leather stuff when I was small, and I had the little 8 or 9 piece Tandy leather kit, from when I was really little. My dad got me. And so I pulled out those tools because I never throw anything away. I'm a pack rat. I pulled out those little tools. I thought, maybe this time I'll find some directions and see how I can do this better because nothing I built before really looked right. I discovered you had to case leather. You really had to practice how to use a swivel knife, just all kinds of stuff. So I got back into it as an adult, and I was making my little stuff, and I made myself a belt and a couple headstalls for my horses, and I went to get some hardware. So I went to a local saddle shop, and the woman, the owner of the shop, asked me where I got this stuff, and I says, well, I made it. And she says, you're kidding. I go, no, I made this stuff. I just need to get some hardware. And she says, well, can you make some stuff for my store? I go, you're kidding. And that kind of happened from there. And then another friend introduced me to this new thing called eBay that I should advertise some stuff on. And I went, huh, okay. Because I really never, I mean, I really wasn't even, I mean, there was no social media and stuff like that yet. And so this is like in the late 90s. And I started getting orders for things. And so I'd go to my day job. It was in downtown Seattle. I'd go to my day job and work. And then I'd come home and I'd be working all evening on leather things. So while I was at that day job, I thought, well, how can I optimize things here? I thought, well, I need to build a website because that was the thing at the time. Everybody had a website if you were a bona fide kind of business. So that's what I did. And I got it done probably at the end of 1998. And then by 1999, I was able to quit the day job and just pretty much full-time leather work. And it was a struggle, I mean, I just gotten married and stuff too. And so at least I had, there was a dual income, something to fall back on, I guess you could say, because it was a struggle for the first couple years. But after that, things just started to go, and it became a working enough business to pay the bills and things like that, which just really shocked me because I even thought of myself as a hobbyist that gets paid for a few little things. I really didn't even take myself seriously, but the orders kept coming, and people would ask me, well, I saw. I was, just started with a little headstalls and things like that. And then somebody says, can you make some shaps? I go, well, never done it, but it can't be rocket science. I'll figure it out. Then, can you build a jacket to go with the shaps for like the Western Pleasure and the Show Horse people? I'm like, well, again, it's not rocket science. I'll figure it out, but I'm no tailor. So I ended up being kind of a tailor, making lots of outfits and stuff and shaps. And then finally, I decided I wanted to build saddles. So I went to my first leather worker trade show in Pendleton and I met a man named Pete Gorell. And he was teaching people to make saddles in Darby, Montana. And it'd be about a month to month and a half course. So I think it was in 2003 that I went to his shop and, learned the sequence and saddle building and stuff and started offering saddles after that. So, yeah, I made all kinds of things, and that's kind of how it went the first maybe 10 years. Man, it was like saddles, chaps, jackets, headstalls. I even made stall drapes and stuff like that for people going to big shows. And then I branched off into making harnesses for combined driving, so marathon. And then in the driven dressage and stuff like that. So it'd be like more fine harness. And it just got to be way too many things getting spread too thin and being just one person. So kind of had to figure out what were the money makers, what do I enjoy doing, what's the efficient things. And It took a few years to figure that out, but when I did, things started to go much easier, and I got much more efficient with my time and how much I could make, instead, how much product I could make and how much money I could make. And as it goes now, it's a great job. I mean, I'm not rich, but I'm pretty darn comfortable. And I was able to take on an apprentice. So starting last year, started training somebody, and he's doing great and kind of branching out into his own shop along with helping me. So this has all been kind of a win-win, for those involved. So it's been quite a journey. It's a good life, and it's something, I guess you've got to really kind of persevere and do what's reasonable and logical. And I mean, as far as, figuring out what are the money makers and stuff and how to best utilize your time, and being somebody who's not by nature a business person whatsoever, I had some really, what do you call it, school of hard knocks every now and then, for things like that. But in general, it's things have smoothed out, and it's nice. And I feel I would have never, when I was going to college, in my early 20s, if somebody would have said, "Oh yeah, you're gonna end up making stuff with leather when you grow up," I would have said, "Oh BS, no way, talking about So this is it's like, wow, you just never know how things are gonna turn out. You
No,
just
you
don't
don't.
know. Yeah.
That's an awesome story. That is
Is.
awesome.
Thanks.
Couple things you said there. Twice you said, "Well, I could do this, and never done this before, but you quote figure it out." And boy, isn't that that's an everyday thing. You figure it out, right? You weren't inclined to be a business person, but you
No.
figured it out. And you find out what those money makers were and try to offload those things that were just kind of dragging a program down. And that's what Wilson's going through that big time with Mike
Oh.
Skinner is you kind of have to get things lined up with those things that are going to help you pay the bills and try to figure out a way to let go of those things that aren't.
Yeah, well, you only have it. We only have 24 hours in the day. We have to sleep a certain portion of them. How are you going to use the rest of it? And if you're going to maximize the business side of it by us
Oh,
being
yeah.
us, being the creative artist types, what are we doing with that creative time? Record keeping, the scoreboard, right? Got to have the
Oh,
scoreboard.
yeah.
Tells you all
Oh,
that stuff.
yeah.
Obviously, you have it though. I mean, for you to think, Carol, what is the money maker? That is a huge statement. For even to be thinking along those lines is really cool.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, it's, what would you call that? A invention is the it's from the, what is it, necessity or something like that, whatever,
Oh, yeah.
Necessity is the mother of invention, or something like
Yeah,
that.
pretty much. And for this little brain, this year, well, for 2025, I'm thinking I'm probably gonna go ahead and hire an accountant to do my taxes and stuff, because I'm doing it
Not
myself.
a girl.
And it's been working fine. I mean, it's been working fine, but it's one of those things I just don't need to be doing myself. And then for some of the shop building and things like that, some of these things I can now hand off to Dan, my student apprentice friend, and he's doing a great job. I mean, his leather carving and stuff, I mean, I can't believe the leaps and bounds. He's doing as well in a year as what took me probably 4 or 5 years to do. So he, it's
He
really, really
didn't
good.
have to reinvent the wheel though, right? He
No,
was
he didn't. He didn't, and
was
that's
with
why,
you, so
Yep, and that's a big thing, when your whole thing that you do has just been trial and error and just learning by the seat of your pants, that's a real tough way to go. So it's so much nicer now with, I mean, social media, I only do it because I kind of have to. But it's also really inspiring, and man, I've learned a lot of stuff too. I've also, with this discovery with social media, I see some of these people who they are so creative in their drawing and their tooling and stuff. I mean, they're so creative. In my mind, I'm very mechanical. This is why when people ask me, oh, could you make this or could you make that? I could always say, well, yep, I can try to figure it out because I'm pretty mechanical. I can see how things go together. But when it comes to designing and some of the real artistry and the flow of a pattern and stuff, I mean, this is why I spent so much money on Carrie's classes and things, but just to be able to draw, to be able to make nice patterns because I can pretty much tool anything too. But if I have some cruddy looking little pattern I've made, it doesn't matter what kind of tooling I do on it. It'd be like, well, that's a lousy looking flower, but you did a nice job on your carving. I mean, I didn't want, that to be the case. So yeah, I've had to spend a lot of money on classes to be a better artist. And I feel like it's finally started to kind of come together. The two things, the mechanics part of it and the creative part, finally starting to meet up. And but boy, was it 20, 25 years to finally feel like that? That's a long time. That's a heck of a long time, but better late than never, I suppose, right?
Well, I would say that's about normal. Because if I look at my own career, I'm 25 years into it as well, and it's been a stair step of different aspects of my business for it to come together, and it takes a long time. And we're still searching. Are you still not searching? I mean, that like there's still certain parts of it that, well, I got to do better here.
Always. Always. I was just in Pendleton and I took two pattern drawing classes, for gosh sakes. Oh yeah. I mean, it's just always, 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 always trying to learn, can do something better. If I walk away from a class and I've learned one new thing, that's bonus. That's great. I've never been to a class yet where I haven't learned a couple new things. So they're well worth the money and well worth taking the time, no matter what level you are in your craft. There's
Agreed.
always
And
room.
I think all three of us are wired similarly this way, and that is when you, Carol just described that scenario where you go to a class, you come out of it with one nugget. Does that not constitute a personal victory? Isn't that the way you look at it? This is a personal victory. I learned something. I can go home with this. That to me is a small personal victory. And then you start stacking those personal victories one upon another, and then you've got something. But it does take time. It does take time.
It does take some
Continuing
time.
education. Right? Doctors and lawyers have to do it every year. Accountants, they, you know.
Well, you bet. And I gotta say, here's a plug for the TCAA. Getting that fellowship with you guys, and working with y'all, it really, that in itself, that kind of bumped things up a little bit to the next level. It's kind of a slow build, but it's like sometimes in your learning, you sort of reach this little, like a little plateau, and it seems like you can go left and right, but you're not really going up from there, and God forbid you go down. But it's working with you guys within a TCAA and just being around this work that's this other next step above, it's like osmosis. It kind of soaks through your skin, I guess, whatever. And it made everything I do just that little bit better. And you don't know what you don't know. If you don't see it and you're just used to seeing a certain level of craftsmanship all the time, well, there's not a lot of incentive to go up or forward. If you're already, your business is running okay, you're making the money you need to make, people are happy with what you're doing, the public's really happy, they like the quality and stuff. But, if you don't if you're not around these things to see that the quality really has room for improvement still, and there will always be little tiny increments of improvement you can do, unless you're around that, you just don't know.
Do you
And that's
think
what opened it up for me.
that what you just described right there, that exposure to shorten it down to one word, scares the crap out of some people?
Oh, yeah, because for some folks, it's going to seem, and I don't blame them, maybe because I got introduced to this stuff to you guys in this different level of work. Well, I had a lot of years already into stuff. But if you were more new, let's say you had only 4 or 5 years or something, and you're still really struggling on stuff to see that work, I'll never get there. That's an impossible level to reach. But it's like nobody just woke up one day, went from one level and bounced up 10 stories to another. I mean, it's a grind. It's a day by day by day kind of thing.
The business exposure is another one. What I've been exposed with Mike Skinner. Thank God he didn't just dump the bucket on me. He's pulling me along, but there was scary things in the beginning. All this aspect from design to mechanics to business to managing the home life, and running a project, a business the way we all have to do, and being the CEO slash janitor is like some like there's no is there a relaxing moment in it, right? Is there a part of my day that I just wake up and go, cool, I don't have anything to do? I don't think there is,
No.
right? I don't.
That's what Bill Ray said when we interviewed Bill Ray back, I don't know, a few months ago, middle of the summer, I think it was, and he says there's no day off. So when you say no day off to, your pretty much run of the mill wage earner, that's bad. They're living when you're living for the weekend. Yikes. Of course, to be that way, you also have to, there has to be some kind of a measure of balance, right? I mean, we could be living in our shop that's all we think about. That's all our entire identity tied to that.
I will say that I work in some days off. I mean, so we all hear about me obsessing over my 40 billable hours in the week, but because that does create stress, that does create anxious moments on Monday morning. I feel like it's this very specific goal that I want to accomplish. But once that is accomplished, and then there's a relaxing moment to it, and you do get to do some other things that really have been screaming in on the other side of you that have to be taken care of. But it's a I don't know, there's sense of accomplishment to certain things. Setting goals and reaching those goals, there's a sense of accomplishment and a relaxing moment to that. Like this week, Christmas, right in the middle of the week, families coming in and out and around. Well, I didn't plan on 40 hours this week, right? I planned on one day in the shop. Well, I reached that. I worked a little on Sunday. Reached that early on. Well, actually, I had to do a little bit on Tuesday morning, bright and early before everybody got up, but was able to reach it. Now the rest of the week's been pretty relaxing, and everything I've done in the shop, and I've done some things. Yeah, we're money ahead, right? No, so there's a we're over above and beyond. So there's some cool to that too.
Well, that's
All of
awesome.
those are personal victories. You're just poking a stick on the fire and keeping that momentum and stuff going that way.
Yeah, I kind of, well, I've given myself, because like I said, I've got to update my website, and there's some other paperwork things I need to do too. And I was not able to get to any of this stuff. So I told myself after I got my little Christmas gifts for people done Christmas Eve, then I said, okay, the rest of the time, that's it. This until New Year's Day, it's the paperwork time. It's the stuff I just didn't allow time for, over 2024. And also, I discovered in 2024 is that I needed to find balance. That was going to be That was something I really needed to work on because the first, I'd say the last part of 2023 on into about May, June of just this year, I was working so much that I mean I was doing nothing else. You know, I didn't go fishing, I didn't go hike, I didn't do anything but work. And that's with my friend, you know, apprentice helping me too. And you know, for what he could do. And I thought, yeah, I don't want to spend, you know, I'm 61 now. It's like I don't want to spend the rest of my time, the rest of my years working like that. So I got to figure out how to manage my time better, how to hand off, you know, projects and just find a little better balance and stuff in life. And I'm slowly getting there and it feels really good. And I think that's the only reason I feel I could take this time off during this holiday season, this last week of the year, that I would have never even thought of this 6 months ago to do. But I think I'm starting to see the light in some things. And so that's a good feeling. You know, it's a good feeling. And you also got to figure out how much do you really need? You know, how much is enough? How much do you really need? And I have to admit, for a while I was chasing a dollar amount. You know, I wanted to break this level and this other level and stuff. And it's like, well, you know, with just two little hands and me, boy, that's a lot of work unless I really raise my prices or I don't know, the economy changes or something, but I would have to do something really different. And so I have really had to put together, you know, what is it that I really need? What's important? What are my values? You know, what do I want my life to look like at this age where most people are thinking of retirement? I'm thinking of, now I need to streamline my business because I'm going to do this forever until I physically can't. So how am I going to do it where I'm going to really enjoy it? And that's kind of my what I've been working on.
That is,
It's a good thing.
I know, Carrie, I'm gonna let you expound in a minute, but that is some gold that what you just said there, because what you're talking about is goal setting. But how do I set those goals, right? And all those questions that you just ask yourself there ultimately ends up in being, I'm going to make X amount of dollars. I'm going to work X amount of time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. How am I going to have a healthy life? And what makes me comfortable? Do we have to make millions? Heavens, no. No, we don't have to make
No.
millions, but we do have to pay for our way of living that we want to, that makes us happy. Right. And we want to work X amount of time and we want to fish X amount of time. And how are we going to do all this? Well, that's goal setting.
It's figuring out
Well,
like what's important. I mean, I'm fortunate that I'm really only just worried about me, my mortgage, my bills. You know, I don't have kids going to college and stuff like you guys do, you know? So it is a little, my life is a little more simplified in that way. But still, you know, you got to think about what happens in the years when you can no longer do this either. You
sure.
know, is there a fallback, something to fall back on? And do you put money into retirement and things like that? And yeah, luckily I can say, yeah, I've been doing that. So luckily I've got something, but
Good for you.
a
Yeah,
lot of
good for
folks
you.
don't.
Not
Yeah.
something that I've had to start doing, Carol, and the last several years, the podcast, Mike being a part of my day is, oh, we have some ground to catch up on, Willie. I was just gonna work forever. And no, bad idea, right? Bad idea. That's not going to be the way it works. So you have to do some things. So good on you for doing that, I mean,
I
perfect.
try.
One thought I had, and this is more of something, it fits in with what we were talking about there a few minutes ago about how long it takes to get your skill level to a certain place, and you just keep kind of building it one brick at a time. And here it's been 42 years since, let's see, yeah, 42 years right now since I built my first saddle, and still trying to find a gear, find the next gear, and all of that stuff. Well, how did retirement fit in with that? you've hardwired yourself to be. That's who you are. It's just baked in the cake, right? So retirement, the R word, I've been maybe we call it a grind, but I don't think of it as a grind.
No.
I'm just having fun, and now I'm at a place these many decades later, I can reap some of those rewards, some of the benefits of that. And why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Like Carol says, I'll just keep doing it till I can't. And why shouldn't
I want to build a bit and a pair of spurs when I'm 103, but I don't want to get up at 3 o'clock in the damn morning when I'm 103. I can tell you that, right? And
You
so,
want to build them because you love building them and you love
yeah.
doing the part, not because, oh my God, I have to, and I can barely see and my hands don't work, and I got to get this work done. I'm not going to pay the bills, you
Not
know?
good, not good.
No, that's not something I want to be. And then I also think, you know, what if something happens and you can't work?
Yeah.
What if something happens and you can't do what you've been doing? So I just try to figure out all these different contingencies, I guess. You know, what could happen? What am I going to do? And just trying to think ahead. Just trying to think ahead. You know, what's the next phase of life going to be? And I'll always do this, like I said, as long as I can do it, I will do it, even if it's not to sell things anymore, but just for charity auctions or something. You know, if I don't need the money anymore, what a great place to be in. To be able to give back and do something for somebody else. But you know, what if something does happen and I can't work and I, you know, that's the reality sometimes of things. So I try to be a little bit prepared, I guess you could say. And
Well, that's a biggie of with Mike Skinner, right? He talked a lot about how, he looks out in the agriculture community and God bless them, and people come together as community when things go south and whatnot. But his whole deal, and Wilson can speak to this better than I can, probably, is that you should have, like Carol says, kind of have some things in order so that for those contingencies,
well,
and not just count on, oh, my safety net is the community I live in. To a certain degree, that's good and that's healthy and stuff, but for you to rely on someone else like that, maybe not a good plan.
I don't, yeah, that's terrible. I mean, okay, so I have two girls. Are me and Katie going to rely on them to take care of us? I just soon take care of myself and them be able to use their excess to better themselves and move on. It's because I'm taking care of them now doesn't mean they have to take care of me when I get old, right? I'm not having to take care of my parents, and I'm fully prepared to do whatever I need to do to help them, right? I would love to help them, but I don't have to at the moment, right? And I don't want my children to have to either, or my buddies, right? My cowboy culture, who we all three know that our Western culture will do everything they can to do anything that we need for us, but I just soon take care of, I mean, the conservative attitude, right? I can take care of myself and the government can stay the hell out of my life. Well, I don't need I don't need the charity. I will do it myself, right? But I will, but it, but as you know, put myself in the Western culture, any of my buddies that need help, I'm there, right? I'll do whatever I can to help them.
Well, I think that's
So
great.
that's business. That's why do we do the business side of what we're doing? That's the base foundation of it, right? It's like I'm not it's not all about money for me, even though I do talk a lot about business and making a living. My business model would look a lot different if all I cared about is money. I can guarantee you that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I'd be ordering stuff from China and importing and just popping a new price tag on it and selling in volume. I'm just kidding, I wouldn't do that. I mean, it's but I
Well,
mean,
but
it'd be a lot easier than working hard.
I guarantee, I mean, I would have a lot more people in my shop. The parking lot around my shop would be a lot different than it is now, right? As I would have a lot of people in my shop building things that a lot more people could afford. And it
Yes.
was a lot more available. You wouldn't have the weight, you wouldn't have the expense of it all. Me and Greg, when I worked for Greg, we built 1,500 bits and spurs a month. I've lived that world. I know how to do that world. I would be happy doing that world if all I cared about was money, but I don't.
That's a lot of bits and spurs.
That's
Holy
a
cow.
lot of bits and spurs. Yes, ma'am.
Jeez.
It's a lot.
A pile of metal.
There's a pile of
My
metal.
gosh.
The steel, the, when the steel truck showed up monthly, it was not a small truck. Let's put it that
Jeez,
way.
that's a lot.
But, again, I mean, good on you, Carol, for you really have embraced all of it, right? You've got goals, you think about your goals, you have the business side, you have retirement, you've considered all that stuff, and you're being a creative soul at the end of it, or in the middle of it, or at the beginning of it, or sometime there.
Yeah, at least those are thoughts in my head, and some of the things are being worked on, some of those thoughts had to get started sometime. But yeah, it gives you a little bit more peace of mind too, I think. A little
Yeah.
more peace of mind stuff. But yeah, my big conundrum is balancing time and, balancing life and stuff like that. And I'm working on it. I'll get there. Thank God I enjoy what I do. I couldn't imagine being at a working for someone else that, yeah, it paid the bills real good, but oh my God, you just dread it every Monday morning.
Yeah,
I
no.
mean, I just that would be living hell. I don't think that would be good.
I look at it, we have one life. We have one life to live. Why do something because society tells us we have to do it so that we'll be happy when we retire, right? Get the college education, save all this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm doing everything I can to make as much retirement for myself as I possibly can at the moment. I just started really late because I didn't have the right mindset, right? But again, I think that's a false sense of security. The college education, I got this big 401k, so I'm going to be miserable for 50 years of my life so that I have that. I don't think that's a good thing. Not myself. I want to enjoy the day
Yeah, that wouldn't be a very good life plan.
with responsibility. I mean, you got to have
Sure.
responsibility. There's things that you have to do, and I'm embracing those things, but I don't feel bad about where I'm at. I don't
I need a Mike Skinner to take care of my business or help me
know.
put things together.
I
When I
promise.
listen to the
Well, we got a
podcast with you and him, I'm like, oh my God, I need somebody like that too. I feel like 2025, I need to find someone like that to help me out here and get things streamlined and figured out.
And I used to think that it was just craftsmen that were not business savvy. But as I go about my day and I have a lot of friends in business other than just craftsmen, why do we not hear of business mentors? You paid a lot of money to Swartzy to learn how to draw flowers and stuff on leather. But have you ever thought of hiring a business mentor, right? Now, for the most part, I don't know many people that do that. Well, I want to start a business doing this, and this old boy's going to pay me this much. Well, do you know how to run a business? Because just because he's going to pay you that much to do this doesn't mean you're going to have a business. You're going to have a job to do, but that doesn't mean you have a business. And so that is one of the things that Mike has done for me is put a curriculum in front of me and a method of running a business, just like Greg taught me how to cut metal and draw and all that stuff is like that. That's what it's done for me, and it's invaluable to me. I tell him all the time
Well,
too.
I
Totally.
think you ought to talk. You ought to talk him into putting on a class for us sometime to
Well,
help us out.
I like that idea.
Have a little summary, a little sheet of like, this is the stuff you guys got to work on. Here's the beginning. Here's how you guys would start, and work your way on down the list, and just to have a structure to go by.
I will. And so shout out to Ryan Looper. Ryan listened to last week's podcast and with Jeremiah, and I made the comment on last week's podcast. I'm gonna be easy talking about business because I've not it's not always received with warm, open arms, right? It's not,
Say the least.
to say the least. And why would Mike be hesitant to do some of that for us?
That's it. That's it.
Because it's not always received with warm, welcome, open arms. And Mike wasn't just jumping over joy to go to work for me. It took a little courtship, for me to get Mike talked into going on board with me. And I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. All this business talk that I've done over the years, unfortunately, is not received the way I wanted it to. I thought it was encouragement. I thought this stuff that I was learning and sharing and talking about would be encouragement to people. Oh my gosh, Willie's getting this done. He's doing this. He's thinking about this. He's doing that. That's going to be exciting, right? I can do some of those things. That is not how it comes back. And it may be the silent majority appreciates it, but the few old soreheads that go to speaking up and get on social media and talk about some stuff tend to make a big old ripple in the water. And of course the ripple's coming back at me. And so I too now I'm hesitant about sharing exactly what's going on in my life. I'm happy to share that Mike has me directed going a certain way, but for me to share exactly what's going on, I'm not sure the World Wide Web is a place I need to be doing that anymore.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah.
And why have I been saying, well, it's not all about money, not all about money. It's me being a little defensive. All Willie cares about is money. No, it's not. No, it's not. But that some of those bullets have thrown back at me. And so technology and all the crap that has happened in the last year. So would Mike be willing to do it? I'm sure he would. But there might be some understanding of who's coming to the class and are they truly interested in what we have to share? Because it's not always, it gives people ammunition to say certain things. And that's unfortunate. And it's probably just three or four, like Clinton Anderson's deal. He had 2,000 people at the clinic, and the office received 6 phone calls because he has potty mouth. Well, you got to quit
Oh,
doing it,
God.
Clinton. We're receiving all these terrible phone calls, and you're such a terrible person because you say these big bad words in public. And Clinton asked him, well, how many phone calls have you got? Well, we've probably received a half a dozen. He said, well, that's great, but there were 2,000 people there. So give the money back to the 6 people that didn't like my language. Right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh,
But
my gosh.
for some reason, you do feel those 6 people yelling back at you. And that's unfortunate. I shouldn't give them ammunition. But again, I'll dang sure help anybody that wants to learn. And Ryan says, you got to talk about it more. All right, we will. We will. But I can't be the blabbermouth that I've been in the past, right? I can't just expose all
You
that
know,
stuff.
I think part of what's going on is in the art world, writ large, but also the cowboy world is kind of a, I don't know how to say this, that it's we there's this kind of a purist type of mentality where we need to everybody needs to when you throw money in it, that corrupts it. And it's no longer pure, it's no longer whatever. And first thought,
College football, NFL, same thing. They don't, how many people, I watch college football because them guys aren't paid. Well, now they are. Now they are. But
they are, it's no longer pure.
it's no
No
longer
longer
pure,
pure.
but they still talk about the professional. They're just getting paid, so they don't truly love it. You tell me Tom Brady didn't love being a quarterback in the NFL. All right. But whatever. Go ahead, Kerry. Sorry for interrupting, but it happens in different.
That's the thing is you got this kind of a purism out there going on and stuff, but at the same time we're hollering and screaming that we want to be relevant and robust. I put those two words together more times than I probably should. Well, how do we do that? And can't help but think of Bill Derezowitz in his book that we talked about earlier, The Death of the Artist and the Birth of the Creative Entrepreneur. One of the lines in there he said was, when you suck the money out of the arts, you don't make artists purer, you make them poorer.
Oh yeah. Then you
So,
got to get a part-time job to supplement the income and stuff there for
yeah, if
artistry.
it's just about the money, yeah, then we're in putting new price tags on something we got from overseas. So, how do we balance these two things? And that's what we're the three of us right here are trying to do.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a toughie. It's a toughie, and
So much
I
for
would think that. Go
us
ahead.
not talking about business too much.
Well, you know,
Here we
but I
go.
think, but it's so relevant
It
because,
is.
I mean, when you're doing these things, you know, I mean, I guess it's one thing if it really is a hobby. If it really is a hobby that you're not relying on it to, you know, pay any bills or something, then man, that's great. Then boy, oh boy, keep it the really pure, just for the craft, just for the art of it. But when that's not the case, and you build it into a business that's a decent enough little business, I also believe then you're also an inspiration to somebody else that they go, wow, you, well, she did it or he did it. Man, there's nothing that special about them. I should be able to do it too if I, you know, get my ducks in a row and stuff and have a plan, some sort of a plan. And so I think it for me, and this is just me and my way of thinking. I'm inspired by people who take something that they love to do and make a business that is successful. Success is whatever a person is relative to everybody, but you know, but a viable, nice little living, to me, that's just a total inspiration. I can't think of anything better personally. So I like to see that happening. I like it. I do
I
too.
like your choice of words there too, Carol. For me, she says, for me. And that and I need to say that more, right? For me. I like having a business. I grew up wanting a business. I wanted to have a business. And so to do something that I love to do and
Yeah.
then create a business out of that seems like a fun thing to accomplish. Right? Like that's an exciting day for me.
Well, I think so. I think it's a real good way to. It's a good way to be. I mean, the alternatives, maybe there's other really good stuff out there. You know, I could win the $1 billion lotto or something. Sure, that'd be great, but I just have a bigger shop and buy more tools and still be making stuff. What the heck? And I could be doing the same damn thing.
I would too. I talk about it all the time. Now my shop would be air conditioned, and that 110 degree weather down here in the South would not be a problem anymore, right? I mean, there would be some amenities to my shop. And I would say today I probably wouldn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I would sure hope I would put my hours in the day because this is my happy spot. And that pure thing may show up. Right? Is there, like there might be a bunch of cowboys with some really nice stuff that I made for them and gave to them, but I'd choose who I give it to, right? I mean, I'm it, th but I'd still get to, there'd still be somebody mad because they couldn't get something next week. I'm sorry. Because I'm
No, somebody mad.
always somebody mad.
Someone.
It's been a great conversation, Carol. I didn't know where we were going to go today, but I've enjoyed this. I mean, that's good business talk.
I didn't know either. I didn't think it was going to be business talk, being a non-business person, but no, it was good. I very much enjoyed it, and I believe it's snowing a tiny bit now, right now. So
There
that's
you
nice. Yeah. Good thing I got my Christmas
go.
lights still up all over my house. They
Good.
look good.
No, it's been awesome. Yeah, I think some good stuff came out of it. This is typical of the way our visits go. We don't, it's just no script. We just kind of take off and what happens, happens. But thankfully, there's enough people out there to listen in to keep us going.
Well, we're giving it to them, so what
Yeah, they shouldn't complain about the price.
the hell? We're not making any. Keep them going. It's just me and you calling each other once a week. You'll do another one, Willie? Yeah, here we go. How about Carol? Okay.
Right, yeah, that Carol. Let's see what she has to say.
Spotify's not charging us, so we'll keep going, I guess, right? Or do they charge us,
Really? They don't
Shorty?
charge?
Do they charge
They don't
us?
charge you guys to do this?
Spotify?
Yeah.
No charge. No.
No.
No. There is, we did, we were on a platform earlier with that Riverside something or other, and it
Yeah.
was kind of like a Zoom thing, but it was too clunky when switched over to Zoom, and it's been working a lot better. So, but you got a Zoom subscription, so
Yeah.
Willie, don't you? You that costs you something, don't it?
Yeah, 15, 20 bucks a month. But I need it for mic and all the other things that I'm
Right.
doing. So it's a business expense, so it's all good.
Which talk about monetizing things. So I just added a new tier to my Patreon. You can subscribe for $3 a month, and
Go.
then they give you a 10% discount on a yearly subscription. So if you want to throw a nickel or two in the turnstile, we won't turn it down. I can promise you that.
What am I going to get for my $3?
Well,
Oh.
you'll get several updates. I send out updates on whatever project I'm working on. So I do that for my customer, and then I just copy and paste that over into Patreon, and so people get that, and
The
Patreon people
$3.
seem to like it pretty well. See, I got, I don't know, several hundred free subscribers on there, and it just gives them an opportunity to jump in and support the cause, basically. It's the same content.
Well, I'll tell you what, that Patreon, so I am paying for your, what is it, $20 a month or something, you know? But boy, I use the heck out of that. Your videos and things. I mean, I don't know. I believe that if you already had a little bit of know-how on how to build a saddle, you know, just a real rudimentary know-how, that you could learn to build a saddle well with all the videos that you have on all the different aspects of saddle building. It's incredible because I know how much those saddle schools and stuff like that are, you know, and this is just, I mean, I kind of, there's sometimes, you know, I got your Patreon going, and I'm working on a saddle and I'm stopping and pausing and going, okay, I got to do this like this now. And then I go back and I'll watch, okay, what's the next thing? You know, and I want to do it just like Carrie. And I thought, well, and sometimes I go, oh, no, I'm going to do it more like this. But no, what a resource. Oh my gosh, what a good resource.
This is
Well, I
all.
appreciate that. I don't do hardly any in-person classes these days, but it's the next best thing. In some ways, it may be a lot better because it's at your own convenience, and like you say, you can climb on there. I do need to clean some things up. I need to go in and categorize things a lot better. You know, I think if some you do a search on there for, say, candle binding or whatever, you do. I don't know. I don't know how that works for people, but it needs to be easier, a little bit user friendly that way.
Do you tag your posts?
Yeah, I do, but they're big categories.
Oh
You
yeah.
know, like saddle construction. Well,
There's a lot in that,
there's a lot in that, though.
Yeah, there sure
Yeah.
can be. I'll put spurs, like if I'm doing a pair of spurs, do spurs, and then if I'm working on hinges or buttons, you know, I'll subcategorize it that way too. So you can do
That's
big
what I should have been
category
doing.
and little. But man, that was a great commercial. You probably owe Carol a little bit
Yeah.
of money there, Schwartzy, for what she just
What? Oh,
announced.
no. You just build me a saddle and I don't have to be on a 5 or 10 year waiting list. How about
Yeah,
that?
there you go. There you
Well,
go.
they give it on Patreon. Of course, people understand this is not our website. This is a hosted website. We're renting space, shall we say,
Yep,
on
we
a
pay them.
website. So the whole platform of how it works and the billing and everything, that's all managed by this outfit. Of course, we have to pay for that. But yeah, it's But they do have that 10% off, $20 a month, and suddenly that gets chipped down to $216 a year. Honestly, I don't know of a better deal out there.
So
Yikes.
1750 to come see me for a day. $1,750 to come in my
There
shop.
you go.
So how
Yep.
expensive is that $200 to have access to 500 videos? Talking about all of it at your convenience. Yeah,
I think it's a wonderful resource, you know. And yeah, I'm putting in a plug for it. If you're building things, bits and spurs or saddles, you got to go on Patreon and see these videos. They really, even if you're already good at what you do,
Now, did you see
all
that,
you
Schwartzy? Now she wants me to send her a little check too. She put bits and spurs in there, so now I have to send her a
There you
little check.
go. Yeah,
Well, it would
working the
just be weird
levers.
if I didn't include you.
It was all good. All good. Well,
Well, we've carved up enough time for today, probably. I'll need to go get something going here this afternoon, so we should
okay.
probably land this critter and
It's lunchtime here. It's past lunchtime. Time to eat.
it's
Happy
getting to be
days.
lunchtime here too. So
Yeah, it is. It is. Oh my goodness. I gotta eat. Yeah. We can't maintain this body weight if we don't eat. And I promise the sugar, I'm detoxing off of sugar for the last 3 or 4 days. 2 month pie and all that stuff. Belly's bloated.
Oh, you and every other American. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Carol. Been a great conversation. Thank you for joining
Well,
us.
thank you very much. I was very scared about this, but turned out just fine.
Was fantastic. And you've got a great speaking voice, too. Very
Yes, you do.
articulate.
Wow. You guys, flattery will get you everywhere, huh?
Thank
Well,
you.
thanks. You guys
All
have
right. Take
happy
care.
holidays and have a great New Year's.
We'll do it.
All
Thank you,
right.
ma'am.
You too.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Thank
Bye.
you for joining us. Yes, you do. Well, thank you. We'll do it. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.